From the center of the universe, Hagerstown, Maryland, it's Hub City's own The Hub Show. Podcasting and broadcasting about news, views, local business and events, health, pop culture, everything and nothing. And now, here's your host, Jay Heisch.
All right, rant and rave. This is the Hub Show. I'm back, Jay Heisch. Monkia Shea Lewis is back with me as well.
Hello.
She might be a permanent fixture here in the Hub Show. I'm hoping so. With us today, we brought in from the Natural Solutions Group. They just keep supplying them. I love it. I have Cheryl Piper Snyder here, and she is of the spiritual holistic mindset is the theme of this interview. And she is with Alchemy Holistic Life Coach. She's alchemyholisticlifecoach.com or www.powerofmindfulness.today. Excuse me. Good morning, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Oh, we are excited about you.
Yeah, we've had, so far I've had your learning power with Patricia Stupler. She was here from Natural Solutions Group. That was great. Talking about motivation, how to motivate yourself. Then we had Jennifer Aromatherapy. That was awesome.
I'm sure it smelled wonderful.
I left here feeling really good. Trust me. Amazing, man. She had like 70 things going on in that. I call it the spice rack, you know, for fun, but whatever. We're going to have her back on too, because there's no way to go through each and every one of those on one podcast. But it'll be fun to explore what each one, you know, two at a time do. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
However, you are here. You're all about helping people discover blocks in their life that are keeping them stuck and unable to move forward. And you say we can then work to remove these blocks and move into success. And you help people stay focused, calm, and on track, even when your life is spinning out of control.
That is my tagline.
I'm sure lots of people can relate to that.
And lots of people say, and how do you do that? Help me stay focused and calm and on track when my life is spinning out of control.
Oh, yes, we need to know that.
I need to know that.
Well, we're going to chat about that bit today. We are going to chat about that.
Okay. So tell us a little about yourself. Where do you live?
I live in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. I'm actually from Waynesboro. Mm-hmm. I spent 15 years living in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. And then moved back to the East Coast a few years back. And, you know, when I lived in Salt Lake, I really, you know, came into this whole space of knowing who I am and really learning about that.
Okay.
And this whole new world just opened up to me, and I really knew that my life was going to be about helping others and helping others, you know, move into that peaceful space. And then guess what? I went through an awful time, you know, had the rug pulled right out from under me.
And so
lost my marriage, lost my best friend, and you know, we move into and through these journeys. I just really thought, I'm moving through this for other people. This is not just about me.
Right.
You know, this is about me taking control of my life, moving through this pain, understanding that in life you can't always get what you want, but you can move through it with dignity and grace and help other people by getting to the other side of the pain.
And putting the pain behind you. That's the thing. I think people, that's the struggle.
And definitely moving into forgiveness.
I know you're speaking to
forgiveness is a big issue. And around this time of the year, you have like the suicide rates. A lot of people are depressed. You know, those things, because it's holiday time. And I have friends that are psychologists and psychiatrists. And they said, this is the time of this, their peak season, because you're dealing with that. And I think that what you have to offer and to tell people, some things that they can do themselves, the tips and tricks you offer us can help them through that pain that they're going through at this time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just and you know, moving into that acceptance and moving through, because that, you know, that really is the challenge. And you know, we all come to this life to have experiences and learn.
Right.
And if we can choose to view things like, well, now, isn't this an interesting lesson?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thank you so much. There's always people that really are giving us opportunities to learn.
Yes. Yeah, that's what some you, more absolutely. Than others, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, yeah. On that note, not to get off subject here, but to what Shay was saying, do you feel this time of year or getting into this time of year, business picks up?
Well, you know, and I try to offer things too. Like last year, I'm actually a board member on the Waynesboro Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And so last year at the chamber, I put out an invite for people who are alone at this time of year. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it was a Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just there at, like, from 6 to 8 for anybody who just wanted to come and chat and talk.
Did you have a line out the door?
It was nice, you know, and people were appreciative. To just be able to be in that space and just meet with other people and realize that they're not alone.
People did show up. They took your invite. How many people would you say showed up?
I had a few.
But they took you up on it and they appreciated it. Yeah, I can appreciate that.
You know, I watched a show where a young lady felt like she was all alone for Christmas, and it was very hurtful because she's always with friends and everything,
family,
and didn't have family and everything. And she just took on a project to see how many other people were alone for Christmas, and she had a great outpour of people coming in saying, you know, I'm alone for Christmas.
They're in the
Christmas.
Same boat.
We're in the same
people
boat.
People just
and
need to
I
know that someone out there is going through what they're going through, and they make that connection, right?
So I think that's a great way, like a meetup for people, you know, what you're doing. And for those people who feel that they're out of displaced or, you know, feel like they're alone, that they're not.
They're not. They need to know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, let me get back on track since I butchered the intro. Long morning. The title of today's interview again, Spiritual Holistic Mindset Tips, Tricks, and Secrets. And Cheryl reveals how every mindfulness seeker can succeed in reducing stress. Stress is a killer, no doubt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Cheryl, you have quite a list of accomplishments here. I'm going to go down that first. Cheryl Piper Snyder is an expert in spiritual holistic coaching. She's a college professor of meditation, licensed certified heart math coach, conversational intelligence coach, and you have a master's degree in metaphysical science. Wow.
Awesome.
This should be your show.
Well, needless to say, I love to learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
apparently,
great.
Yeah. That's so do we. That's why the mics are on. That's why we're inviting yourself and other people from your group here. But you bring a broad, vast array of education and ideas, you know, different ways of people to think about going about their lives. I mean, tell us a little bit about your, in terms of your background education and what your experience in spiritual holistic coaching. You went through something yourself, and that.
Yes.
Took that.
And I, like I said, I think that these things that we go through and once we move through those situations and move to the other side, then it is about helping others.
Sure.
It is about sharing that information and being able to help others move through that and moving through that tough divorce like I did, you know, just really having that rug pulled out from under me and everything just went topsy-turvy. I mean, I could go into the story much more, but we're going to keep it brief today.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that it's about moving to that other side and truly forgiving. And I use that word truly purposefully in that sentence because so many people will say, oh, yes, I forgave, past the salt or whatever. And and not really.
You have really crossed that threshold and forgave, right?
Absolutely. And people will ask me, they'll say, how do I know when I've really forgiven something?
Mm-hmm.
And
I think
say,
you'll feel it.
Absolutely. Right? I say, oh, you'll know.
You'll know.
Because when you speak about that situation, it will not ignite 1 ounce of sadness or resentfulness or anger or anything like that in you. You have truly moved to the other side of it,
and
you're at peace.
That's part of the stress a lot of people feel. Is I mean, I'm guilty of it. I'm sure everybody is. We hang on to things. It's easy to be angry at things. It's hard to let go. Whatever it is bugging you, whether it's something to do with your spouse or something with your family members, I mean, people just drag this stuff on for years and decades, yes. You know, where it creates discomfort at the Thanksgiving table and get-togethers. You know, they sitting way over there not talking to Aunt somebody and, right. You know, because they had an issue like 20 years ago at a wedding or something. And they're hanging on, you know. But is there a tip that you wish someone had shared with you about mindfulness when you first started doing this?
You know, yes. I mean, and I would say, and this is a very good segue into what we were just talking about, and that tip would be acceptance.
Right.
You know, stop trying so hard and start allowing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a big difference in I'm trying to forgive and I'm trying to see their point of view and I'm trying
just
to this or that. Allowing mm-hmm. is a whole different energy when you bring that, because it allows you to open up and step into acceptance. And when we step into acceptance, then we're not in that resistance that you were just
right.
talking about, Jay.
Right. Right.
We're not in that space of fighting or of that,
yeah,
that resistance.
Resisting it, yeah.
Because that resistance is what causes the pain, that resistance.
What is it with some people? I think some people, I try, what you're talking about, I try personally to let things go. There are people, I think, like being in that ball of anger. You think they do because they hang on to stuff and they just won't let it go. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Right.
And there are people who are
is
really
it a comfort
stuck.
Zone for them?
Well, they can be stuck in a victim status is
sure.
really what, you know, that
you
tends
go.
To be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they can be stuck there and not really know how to move
how
through
to move
it.
Forward, yeah.
And when they get to a space where they're ready, because there's nothing that you or I or anyone else can do until someone's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because
sure.
that's a journey they take all sure. on their own
right.
to come to that space of being ready to say, you know, there's just got to be something different. There's just got to be something more.
Yeah.
Well, I commend you because I did some mindfulness tips and tricks in before, and it really helped me to see things a little bit clearer than what I normally would. It's helping me focus. But with forgiveness, someone always asks me, how is it so easy for you to forgive? And, you know, it's not so easy for me. I said, because you just have to let it go. You have to
move on.
You know, release.
A lot of breathing
you know,
involved.
just let it go. You
let
know,
it go.
And you can't hold, because if you hold on to it, that's just the bad energy and it gets you knots in your stomach and
yeah.
you mess you up.
Even
so
ulcer.
I said, I can't sleep.
Stress building
that.
Up. Right.
You know, that
Absolutely.
Kind of stress in my life.
Yeah.
So I have to let it go. Whether I agree with the situation or not, I just feel like, you know, I've learned to just let it go. Just accept it and allow
well,
it to
some,
move on.
I mean, not to get religious here, but the Serenity Prayer about accepting things you can't change, you know.
And
I mean,
changing the things you can and
right.
knowing the difference.
Right.
Right.
So
yeah.
I mean, is there a cool trick you figured out or discovered with spiritual holistic living that would really help the mindfulness seekers in our audience without, you know, or with moving through blocks that are holding them back? Is there something?
Well, you know, I love to talk science here too,
right.
you know, because I am a conversational IQ coach or conversational intelligence coach, and that's all about neuroscience.
Oh.
Okay.
You know, and that's really about what's happening in the brain that's causing us to react to specific situations.
Oh,
because,
that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a primitive part of the brain called the amygdala.
Mm-hmm.
And the amygdala's job is to do nothing but scan for threats. That's what it does.
Oh, I
it
think
is,
we have a,
it is scanning,
a lot of people like that.
scanning, and that's what, well, it
malware
kept us
on
alive.
The brain. Yeah.
It kept us alive back in, you know, back in the day, you know, oh, there's a saber-toothed tiger chasing us. Guess we better run.
That's right.
You know, but that part of our brain is still, you know, alive and well, and its job is to scan for threats. And so therefore, you know, when you meet someone, and this is kind of amazing, people, when I say the statistic, are a little surprised. When you meet someone within 0.07 seconds, that amygdala decides threat, no threat, trust, distrust.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I always tell people, you know, in the first, you know, that's why they said the first impression is your last impression. Mm-hmm. And so if you feel that person is a threat, you're going to always think that person is a threat. And then you have to work through that because that person, maybe it's you that's the threat. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's not them, but it's something with you, within you.
Our perceptions of people and how they perceive us, all
yeah.
that stuff. It puts up a wall
well,
for our people.
And perception you know? Creates reality.
Yes.
Right.
It does. And so therefore to realize that when that amygdala fires up like that.
Right.
That, well, what it's called is an amygdala hijack. That's what it's called.
Well,
yeah, and so when you're in an amygdala hijack,
okay.
When you're in an amygdala hijack, basically you're in a threat mode, you're in a fear mode, and your view of the world has closed in, and it's now protect, 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 scan for threats.
Because
you're going to do one of four things when you're in that space. It's going to be fight, flight, freeze, or appease. You're going to do one of those four things when you're in that situation. Mm-hmm. And so in realizing that and understanding that with a calming of that amygdala, with specific, just specific terms to talk about, talking about things that can actually open up the back up the prefrontal cortex, because that's what happens is that area of the brain, they get kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And the prefrontal cortex is where we get inspired. It's where our passion lives. It's where we co-create. It's where we feel like we can just talk with someone all day long because there's just this magic happening. And that's what we want to open back up.
Okay. So neuroscience, to you, the brain's a big map, right?
Well,
different sections in there, like if we put really.
Mm-hmm.
It's always interesting to me. I am no doctor, but I mean, when I hear people talk about that and they actually start showing things and the Abdullah Ablangada and all that stuff, I go, you know.
Well,
it's a mystery up there still, huh?
Sometimes, well, it is.
Mine is.
But sometimes it really helps to understand how when we meet someone or we walk into a situation. Like if I get thrown into an amygdala hijack or allow myself, because I take responsibility on myself, allow myself to be thrown into an amygdala hijack, I understand that. And I think, well, wait a minute, let's stop here and think, is what's really going on? And then I allow myself to really move into the situation and look at it a little differently. But I think it's having that knowledge to understand that we do have choices and we can view things differently. Because like you were saying, perception. And perception does order reality.
It dictates everything.
And we get to choose what filter of perception we're going to view anything through.
Right. You know, we sit here talking about this. I mean, I'm sure you too, Shay, you're just going back into my life going, all right, I did this, I did that. It wasn't too long ago. But, you know, well, you just, this is therapy for both of us here, Shay.
It is therapy because I can tell you, I came from a really stressful job. And what I just didn't, if I had the mindfulness training back then, I would have looked at things a little bit differently and it wouldn't allow my job to take control of us. But we have a lot of people who are worker bees and, you know, they're passionate about their job. They love what they do, but they don't know how to turn it off. They don't know how to recenter, you know, themselves. And I think, you know, what the mindfulness training, you know, and the spiritual holistic, mindfulness training will help them so much. Because, like, if I would have known it back then, I would have been in a better situation. I would have been healthier, you know. Of course, when you don't do the right things, you stress eat, you don't sleep right, you have all these conditions. And believe me, I had a lot of them. And
Shay.
So if, you know, I think it's because, you know, I was in management, been in management for a very long time. I thought that was the norm to, you know, you work.
That is the accepted norm. Here in America, especially, people putting in 80 plus hours a week.
I put in 65 to 70 hours a week, you know, and I thought,
and that's not unheard of.
That's accepted norm. So if you can tell the audience about, you know, how we can use this mindfulness training and understand how that impacts you and how you can live a healthier, clearer life.
The term we're using in the theme of this episode with you, Cheryl, is, and I butchered it three times already, I apologize, mindfulness seekers. That's what my audience is. That's what your audience is. That's what myself and Shay are, and of course you still are one. I mean, you're still discovering as you
absolutely.
Go, right?
It's all about
you're
learning.
At the top of the mountain waving your flag. We're still climbing that all together, right?
Absolutely, because you know what? I'm here. I'm still here on this earth, so there's things for me to learn.
It's never conquered. We have its emotions and things that rub us the wrong way and the right way, and we all have to deal with it no matter what. Is there a secret you can give that every mindfulness seeker needs to know when it comes to, we talked about resilience and perception, about when it comes to building resilience?
Well, yes, when it comes, and to answer your point too, Shay, one of the things that's huge right now, and I'm sure you may have read it in different business journals, CEOs, top CEOs are seeking out mindfulness. Top CEOs are meditating every day because they're understanding the power of mindfulness.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Take a break, right?
And one of the things that you mentioned earlier in the show, Jay, was that I am a licensed certified heart math coach.
Yeah.
And that's math, M-A-T-H, yeah. And it's all one word. Yeah. And with heart math, it is about building resilience.
Okay.
That's what it's all about. It is about creating the connection between the heart and the mind.
Mm.
And so this is huge with large companies like NASA, Stanford University, Cisco.
Yeah.
Huge companies that are actually on board with this training. This training is used for athletes. This training is used for the military. This
awesome.
Training is used for police departments. Anyone that's under any type of stress like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it helps to create and build resilience so that when we're in tough situations, we respond using that prefrontal cortex. We haven't been thrown into an amygdala hijack. We're able to think clearly and actually respond in a way that is going to be productive for us and for the whole team. And
awesome.
So by creating that space and that connection between the mm-hmm. head and the heart, and it's all breathing techniques, and it's so simple, I can't even tell you. I could be doing it right now looking at you, and you don't even know I'm doing it.
Awesome. I mean, because I think nurses, anybody who's like emergency response team
mm-hmm.
members, they really need to do EMTs, paramedics.
Because,
my husband's a police officer. I mean, those type of people who are always, they don't have any way to, like, they always reacting. And then I know they have to put your mind in a frenzy,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think that would be some awesome tips or tricks that you can offer for them to
absolutely.
Really
and there, on my website, on the Heart Math page, there are actually two videos to watch. They're short little videos that kind of describe what Heart Math is. And then another one is talking about a military situation where people have used the Heart Math technique.
That's nice.
But, you know, it's really also, I mean, imagine that you're sitting in a boardroom or you're sitting in the office with your boss and you know, somebody's coming at you.
Right.
And if you get thrown into that amygdala hijack, what are you going to do? One of those four things. Freeze.
Oh, yeah. That's a normal one.
Flee. Fight. Or appease.
F-F-F-A.
Most of the time, you're going to sit there and appease. And you're not going to think clearly. How many times have you been in a situation like that with someone, and later on you go, well, I should have said this, and I should have said
that. Oh, we all said that.
Well, for the layman, that's for me, that's hindsight.
But
2020 hindsight.
But what's happening is that connection is back open, and
right.
you can think clearly, you can think creatively, you can think about those things. But
right.
when you're in the middle of that situation,
it's different.
It's been shut down.
Right.
And so in creating that connection between the heart and the mind and building that resilience, what it does is when you're in those tough situations, that kicks in.
Awesome.
That's the habit that kicks in. And
that's what we need.
And that's why I tell people when I do heart math techniques with them, I always say, this is so simple that you're going to be like, I don't need to practice that.
Yes, you do.
You do. Because if you don't practice it, it won't be the automatic response when you're in the stressful situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the simple breathing techniques that keep that
channel
open.
I'm curious, have you yourself, I mean, I know you work at colleges and whatnot, have you been brought in by any police departments or? Like,
well, a few physician offices, you know, for that situation, but not military. School systems. You know, I've done a few things.
Done a few
for
things there.
Different school systems, exactly.
For the kids or for the staff?
For the staff.
That's a long day, right?
Right.
and just to help to be able and heart math is usually one of the things I talk about the most. It's creating that connection.
I think it's really important. I mean, that is so important. I think everybody needs to understand the heart math techniques because
I do.
I'm telling you, even when you have that confrontation with your spouse or your child, you know, sometimes as a parent, I say, I should have said this. I should have did this. You know,
hindsight.
You know, but you know,
we
use the other part of our brain. Threat scan, as you were talking about. And so I wish that, you know, I need to learn these techniques. I'm going to make sure I learn these techniques so I can be proactive in my communication with everybody.
These techniques are available on your websites?
Well, the technique is part of the program.
That's right. I thought so.
But you can read about HeartMath on the website. I do actually have a page dedicated specifically to HeartMath.
You have two websites. I'm going to say it again. www.alchemyholisticlifecoach.com and also www.powerofmindfulness.today.
And powerofmindfulness.today is actually an online course that I sell.
Okay.
Oh,
and so that's available for sale on my regular website, alchemyholisticlifecoach.com, but it also has its own website that kind of takes you through exactly what the training course is. And so people can decide if they choose to purchase it or not. But it's all a course they can take online.
Oh, okay. So it's self-sufficient, self-study type of course. Oh, I love that.
So as a college professor of meditation, where have you taught?
I actually teach at Hagerstown Community
ACC?
College.
ACC? Okay.
Awesome.
Nice.
And the class I do there is a basic meditation class. So most of the people who come in have never done meditation before.
Right.
So I designed that class. It's a six-week course. So what I did was I designed it that each week I expose them to a different type and style of meditation.
Oh.
So that they can, you know, during that 6 weeks, see which one resonates most with them that they might want to explore more.
How far around the country or the world have you gone to immerse yourself and get educated in the world of meditation and holistic life coaching and all that?
Well, like I said, I, you know, started this whole journey in Salt Lake City.
Right.
And, you know, just learned so many things there. I've been to Sedona, done some work in Sedona, Arizona, some areas of Colorado. Of course, here on the East Coast, I'm back here.
Yeah.
I have...
it's a beautiful country out there, though.
It's beautiful.
Colorado and Utah. Yeah.
It is. I have... I work with different groups around the country and the world. You know, we just meet online via Zoom.
Well, nowadays,
I mean, the world is
nowadays,
so small.
It's,
right, you're right.
They're listening to us in Sudan right now. I think.
Exactly.
Probably not.
Exactly.
All right. Well, can you go in a little more detail on what you're going to be doing next, or what's next for Cheryl?
Well, I do have a podcast that I'm starting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Welcome to the world.
It's called Open Heart and Beyond.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because isn't it? It's all about the heart. It's all with me. It's all about the heart. And of course, I have the online courses. I have a new online course that I'm working on, and that is entitled Freedom in Forgiveness.
Oh,
what we talked about in the beginning.
Yeah,
right.
And so
there is a lot of freedom and forgiveness.
This is the week for
it
coming up.
Have you ever worked with people who dealt with, and you know, that's, you know, right now a lot of women are coming out about being, you know, sexually harassed. Or, you know, been molested or raped. And I'm a victim of that, of molestation. So I understand that freedom and forgiveness. And people, when I talk to women who've been in my situation, they always think, and I'm talking about freedom and forgiveness for me forgiving the person who victimized me. But I have to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's your own thoughts that won't let you to truly forgive and move past that. So have you ever thought about talking to people in the situations like myself, been sexually harassed or?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And that's beautiful what you just said, because in that forgiveness, that freedom that one experiences is that freedom within yourself.
Yes.
Is that freedom of just having that weight or burden lifted from you, and understanding that you don't have to walk around growing a poison tree inside of you, because I'm talking all forgiveness is about letting that
the
go.
The poison tree.
Yes.
And it hurts ourselves. It hurts us.
Yeah, the people around you. I mean, you're gonna express it in different ways,
absolutely,
in different forms, and
right.
You know,
it's hard to
take
maintain
it out on
relationships
yeah,
and
sure.
any type of relationship.
Right. It's
just, absolutely,
it's there, right? Always in the back
it's
of your mind.
There. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
You have to. So I would encourage all people who've been victims and some type of abuse or been harassed that they take on their online course and understand
definitely.
And listen to your podcast because they needed that freedom of forgiveness. They really need that.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And honestly, this is my calling. I know that.
You feel it.
I know it, absolutely. And I've been called many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, oh, yeah, I'll get to that, God. I'll get to that. Finally, it was like, all right, okay, I'm doing it. I understand that there are a lot of people out there in a lot of pain.
Yes.
And I want to help. That's really what I want to do.
Not to go on any type of tangent here. I'm curious, though, with this meditation, this type of medicine, are you a religious person?
Well, I would say I'm a spiritual person. I love to study religion.
Right.
I mean, one of my hobbies is studying religion and history all around the world because it's all fascinating.
Sure.
I love
what different
to seek
people
what the ancients
believe
thought.
And,
it's all very fascinating.
Okay. Because a lot of people just say, you know, just pray, 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 pray. And I'm not an atheist or anything like that. I find myself agnostic. I believe there's something there. I believe I'm more spiritual than anything else. But I think in the world of religion and the Catholics and the Protestants and the Seventh-day Adventists and all these different religions, they put all these rules on themselves. And I think a lot of people get locked into that way of thinking and that way only. And I think some of that adds to them not to the resilience. Does that make any sense?
I understand what you're saying, Jay. And I truly believe that whatever space that people are in right now, and if that works for them, they're in
absolutely
the right space.
I mean, I'm not arguing with them.
No, I understand what you're saying. Because there's an experience for all of us to learn and to have.
Because, see, you seem very open-minded, very open to different ways of dealing with your stress and whatnot, whereas this person would say, oh, just do this, and this is the only way to do it. You know what I mean? So that's what this is about, right? Opening your
absolutely
mind in different ways. Of,
opening your mind and opening your heart and understanding that, my goodness, we all have perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
We all have ideas and thoughts on what we think is important and what we think is correct. And if we can come together in those things where we have common ground, which is our humanity.
Right.
Then, you know what? There's just so much we can learn from each other.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Definitely.
And it's always about your experiences. You know, I always tell my experiences totally different. God designed it so different and unique so that I can share and you can learn from me and I can learn vice versa.
I say that I have nothing but respect for what you do. And it's just sitting here reading this stuff and meeting you. I mean, I know this stuff is there. You always hear about it. But then to really sit with someone who actually, you know, is immersed in it is a whole different experience. So I do recommend everyone, you just check out her websites, check out what she has to offer. I mean, get into this stuff. It's definitely, if you got things holding you back, and you know you do, this is the avenue to go, I believe.
Well, it's discovering those blocks because,
you
know, when each person is ready, when they've come to that space in their life where they understand there's something stopping me, there's something that every time I try to move forward, every time I try to, I get excited about something and I think I'm going to do it this time, there's something that is pulling them back, that keeps pulling them back. And when we recognize what that is and then remove that block, then they're able to move forward.
Right. Because once you do that, you'll be able to leap. Take that leap
and
jump into life.
That's exactly.
And
it.
I always
it
say, if you want to live the life
you
always want
to
do
that,
you
versus turn to the bottle or turn to the drugs, which we know will give you instant relief for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? But then there's this.
Exactly.
This is
going internally.
This is right.
This is not looking for anything external to fix you or to make you happy. I always say this. I don't like to use that word always, but I often say this.
Often? Okay.
That there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way.
Right. Right. Awesome.
Really?
Happiness is the way.
That's
but
it?
You know what? I've always would say similar to that, you know. And I always tell people to thine own self be true. And you got to be true to yourself to understand if you want to be the best out there, you want to be a better version of yourself. And you got to work within. You know, don't look for outside things to make you happy. It has to come from within.
You'll know it when you have it, right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And because that's all we can be is as I can only hope to be better today than I was yesterday, yes. a better me than I was yesterday. And that's where it comes back to that forgiveness and moving through that space. Because when we move through that space of forgiveness and get to the other side, guess what? All of a sudden, that experience has turned into wisdom.
Yes.
And then you can share it.
Yes.
And then you can inspire.
Yes. Oh, I'm right with you.
Big grin on Shay's face. You're loving this, man.
She's speaking my language.
She is, right? I'm in the wrong chair.
Well, and then you did ask me some things that I'm doing next.
Yes.
And there's one more thing I did want to mention.
By all means.
Sunday, December the 3rd, I'm going to be speaking in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, at the Unity Church of Berkeley Springs. They've invited me to speak. So
just
seeing those hand in hand. I like
and
that.
I know a lot of people from that area.
Churches, I've sensed that too in the last 10, even 20 years. The churches are opening their doors to more different ideas and stuff. So, you know, that's what I was going with. That. It's needed, much needed. People need to know there are other options to finding this happiness, you know, that can take over your life and make things better, you know?
Mm-hmm. So definitely. Absolutely.
Is there anything I haven't asked you, though, about spiritual holistic mindset and all the blocks that are holding people back? Anything else you want to share with our
mindfulness
seekers?
There's one thing I didn't bring up that is probably one of the biggest things that I tell people when they're trying to move into this space, and that is gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
If you can find a way to be grateful and to think about the things that you're grateful for in your life, it really does help to move you into that space of forgiveness. It helps to move you through those challenges. Gratitude's so important.
Well, a lot of people just think about being grateful around Thanksgiving holidays, like we're about to embark upon.
But then they go shopping the next day. It's over with.
Right. But I say you have to be thankful and grateful every day. Mm-hmm. You know, so many things happen in life, and you know, I'm just thankful that I'm healthy, you know, that I'm able to see, I'm able to walk. You know, I'm very grateful for those things because, you know, I know people who's my age and, you know, who's dead. They look 10 years older than we should.
Looking ragged.
You know, and just living life, mm-hmm. you know, without vision, without purpose and direction, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I like that gratefulness. You need to have that gratitude.
Yeah. Gratitude's so important. And I appreciate what you were just saying about, you know, sometimes, you know, running into people who look like they've aged, who look like, you know, they're not their age. They mm-hmm. look much less. Stress can do so many things to us. And to step into a space of forgiveness, to step into a space of resilience, to learn those things and to be grateful, all of those things help to remove that stress
mm-hmm. yes.
or reduce that stress from our life. And then we just feel like we can be in a happier space.
Definitely.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that. I really love that.
Do you have? Are there any resources you'd like to share with us? Any books, anything?
You know, one of my favorite books I like to share is it's called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, it's a really good one because, you know, that's what we're doing here, kind of breaking the habit.
So, Jay, you're going to get that book soon, right?
I'm on Amazon right now.
Because I think he needs to work on breaking the habit of being Jay, but I love him, you know.
Man. Well, that's why, you know, as you're talking here, see, this is the effect you're having. I mean, as we start talking about all this stuff, even though we've only been here for 20 minutes talking about it, it's just, as an adult, you know, in my mid-40s here, I'm sure you too. You
start mid-40s,
your brain starts to unravel
right
where you could have used this 20 years ago, and you could have used this when you were 16, and where were you, Cheryl, you know? I mean, I'm a little lost here. I mean, that's why I'm kind of staring straight ahead, thinking about it. I'm absorbing everything you're saying, and thinking about my life and, you know, my spouse and my kids and where does it all fit? I mean, it all fits, but, you know, what parts and pieces does all this play into, you know? So, I mean, it's very, you know, eye-opening.
Well, thank you,
know,
you so much, Jay.
To
thank
have
you
on here again would be awesome. I mean,
I love it.
Again, and I butchered this in the beginning, the Natural Solutions Group. We had Jen Stilbert on here doing the aromatherapy. We had Patty Stepler on here all about life coaching and motivation, which kind of goes hand-in-hand with what you do, but yours is a little step further. You know, yours is more about taking a break, breathing, you know, shutting down things.
and which, going which, internal.
Which yeah. I, when I first met you, it's funny, when I first met her and Patty and at IHOP, we had a discussion about these podcasts we're going to do. And Cheryl and I actually started getting into some stuff. I go, no, stop. Let's save this for the podcast. This is gold. I was talking about stress, the killer. You know, as technically advanced as we are today, and here we are, we're on a podcast, so I'm being hypocritical here, but the social media, how much does that add into people's stress? I mean, I can imagine the stress I had as a teenager in high school as it was, and you add on to it all the BS back and forth on Twitter and Facebook and how this is affecting kids and teenagers. Kids are killing themselves over the cyberbullying. You couldn't tell us about cyberbullying 20 years ago. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
this is playing into it.
I hear the stories, you know, being in HR, you know, we deal with that. You know, social media has become a part of our employers.
It's your life.
Do business and everything. Yes. And then, you know, we're worried about the reviews and, you know, to listen to my daughter, you know, and I'm giving you this example. Right. She said, I said, well, we're going to go to this doctor and visit. Well, let me look at the reviews for the doctor. And if they got 4 stars, then I'll go. If it has 2 stars, I'm not going. I mean, if that's what we're at.
That's where we're at,
and,
though.
You know, and then they always attach to their phones. Everybody, I'm guilty of it. You know,
this is your office, right?
I'm stressed out because of something on this stupid little phone.
That fits in your pocket.
You know, and I need to always dial back and figure out how to reduce those things. And, you know, I was told to put your phone on do not disturb for certain hours of the day so you can really refocus. But how often do I really do that? Zero.
Well, and thank you so much for bringing that up, because, you know, there are so many people that are just like you're saying, they're completely attached to it. It's like
Absolutely.
Part of their hand.
Yeah.
It's like you would think it was glued there. And so what I like to try to as a softness I like to help people with is just to, when you're out, don't get the phone out. When you're out and you're having dinner, you know, the phone doesn't come out of your purse unless you need to see the time
down.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But you're actually interacting with people. I think it was Simon Sinek who was talking about how, you know, even in like boardrooms and meetings, that there are certain companies that are also, they're not allowing cell phones in.
Yeah.
Because people aren't getting to know each other.
Right. Yeah.
They're
sitting
there before the meeting starts and they're on their phone and
they're not
looking at the person beside them going, hey, Jay, you know, I remember you saying that your mom had an operation. How's she doing? And they're not making that connection with each other.
And, but the young kids, you know, the millennials and Kevin, the producer over there, 19, this is your whole world, man. Right. There are some real people out there, Kevin. He knows that. I'm just joking, but I know what you're saying.
I'm right
people
with you
can't
because
deal with it.
I see my son.
They can
my
shut
16
it off
year old
like
does
that.
That. My 16
right.
year old, he's like, everything is about his, what is it, his snaps, his Snapchat. And his story.
And next week will be something else.
You know, and, you know, my generation's now moved from Facebook to Instagram. So we're all Instagramming for having a My Story. And I'm like, well, what is all that about? And I just can't keep up with it. I really just can't. But it just, you know, I know a friend that, you know, we go on a girls trip, and that was one of the first time I've heard the rule, what you're talking about. When we go to dinner, phones, she put the phones in a basket.
In a bowl
and she
or
said,
something, right?
And she said, no phones. We're going to have
dinner.
Actual conversation.
Look at each other.
We're going to talk and communicate effectively to each other. We're going to engage. And I said, you
know
what?
Going past the peas.
You know, so that's now right. I'm to the point where I have to do that at home because you know, right now, and us parents are guilty of it, and I know I'm one of them. You know, if you have a two-story home, you might not even have to have a two-story home, but you're in one room and the other kid's in another. You text them or call them and say, hey, can
I'm
come
doing
in?
That. I'm guilty
you know?
Of it.
So
I'm guilty
you know,
of it. Why?
Know, we,
why get up?
You know, but we don't, you know, our parents used to get up and go find you.
Or holler really loud.
Or holler really loud.
Get your ass down
I'm
here.
The time.
Right.
I'm now at the point where I said, I'm going to have to stop and dial back and not let social media be like a god for over me, over my life. You know, I need to let my phone be just a phone, a tool that I use, not let the
because
the
kids believe
and
it.
That,
20 years
perfect.
Ago, we did it. Right? Yep. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we went to the movies. We went to dinner, and we went out places, and we weren't looking at anything. If you wanted to reach me, you had to wait till I got home. I mean, right. There was no texting me. Or
exactly. You know. Exactly. And one of the things I was thinking when I was listening to what you were saying, Shay, is that's a lot of external influence.
Yes.
A lot of external influence that's coming at you. Yes.
And as a 14-year-old, 12-year-old who are addicted to this thing, to the social media, and you get kids killing themselves over this cyberbullying thing, which we would have laughed at if you told us 25 years ago this was going to be this thing called cyberbullying. It's one thing to do it to your face, but to do it over a device, like you're on Star Trek or something. You know, we would have laughed at that, but it's real, and kids are, you know, it's mentally anguish, you know?
I do.
Gone down a rabbit hole with this stuff, you know?
And that's where, you know, us as parents, mm-hmm. you know, being able to talk, like you were saying, about putting the phone down, mm-hmm. about understanding mm-hmm. what it is and what it's for, and helping them with going in.
Yes.
Helping them working on those internal things that are really going to make a difference in their life so that those things mm-hmm. don't matter.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Because it's all perception, once again. Perception orders reality.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whatever filter of perception mm-hmm. we choose to view things through mm-hmm. is going to create that reality in our life.
So I got a question. How do I tell, you know, you might have some people in the audience that want to know, well, how do I scale back, you know, from the phones? You know, can you give them a few tips of some things that they can do in their life that they can scale back? Just small things, stepping stones, you know, because you can't be really drastic.
And the fact that this is a question tells you where we're at, though, because, you know, I need it. Everyone needs it, you know.
Well, I think just starting with kind of what we mentioned a little bit earlier, when we're out with people, like if I'm going to meet my friends at a coffee shop, well, I'm meeting them there to talk to them.
Right. Yeah. Girlfriend time. Yeah.
Yes, so don't pull the phone out. I mean, leave the phone in your purse or leave it in your pocket, wherever it is. And if there's something that someone really needs to get a hold of you for,
by all means.
Yeah, exactly. But I can't imagine for a half an hour or 45 minutes that you're sitting there chatting with someone. It's necessary for that, to keep checking and see what's going on. So simply not having it in front of you,
guilty.
Big one. I know some people who told me that what they do when they go out to dinner, like as a family, like they're all adults, is they do the thing of putting the phone in the middle of the table. And the first person that can't stand it and has to grab the phone and look at it, they get to pay everybody's bill.
Oh, I love that. Okay, now we're going to do that.
Some large groups of people, too. Yes, man. Really stick it to them. Yeah. I'm going to tell Devante.
You know, just things like that. But I had a friend last year who told me that they had gone to a Christmas party, you know, and her son was invited, okay? And right. They're all adults, and he's an adult, mm-hmm. too. And the rule was when you came into the Christmas party, the basket, everybody puts their cell phone in the basket, and he didn't want to give up his phone. Oh. You know, he was just
glued to it.
Yes, he didn't.
Controlling,
it was
right?
actually very painful for him to put this phone in the basket. And she said, put your phone in the basket, you know, like we're a guest at someone's house.
I know where some of that comes from, though. Some of that is the marriage leash. Like if he isn't there to answer her text, or she isn't there to answer his text when he sends it.
But everybody was there together. It was a. It was.
Were
a,
they with it, their spouses?
Yeah. It was a Christmas party. It was a family. It was a Christmas party.
Corporate,
no.
You know, okay.
No. It was a. Friends.
But you know what I'm saying. You know where I was going with that, right?
Right.
But basically, what happened was he was there about a half an hour, and he said, "I got to go, Mom. I can't. I have to have my phone."
Oh my!
And so there you go. I mean,
well, you know, I think you brought up a good point. Now people are going to go through phone withdrawal. Like
it is like heroin or something.
You know, it's
not that compares people.
As it sounds, but it's a true statement. I'm going to give you an example. My son's phone. He has an iPhone. Well, he had an iPhone 6, and it went to black. You know, it came with the black screen. He was like having a conniption. Mom, my phone. And so I was very adamant. I'm not buying a phone. You know, I'm just not going to do it. You got to get my old phone and use it.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not. It's
a four.
It doesn't have the apps. And
oh
yeah,
God,
I had the
right.
Samsung Note 4.
Like that.
Oh, I don't want to go to an Android. And
he was like, really?
So he used his birthday money that he saved just to buy a phone. It was that serious. If it was me, I'm like, well, just give me the other phone because I'll just use that until.
But very good for him that he chose to use his own money.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So,
but still,
yeah.
I know, just saying though, Shay.
It's to the point where they just have to have it. Yeah. Like, I need that phone. I need, and God forbid we go somewhere where they don't have any good cell towers.
Oh my goodness.
He's like, ah.
And they blame the store or the restaurant. They're in this place. Sucks. Wi-Fi sucks.
Well, I would love to say, just listening to this conversation, there is an area on my website as well where I talk about addictions.
Oh, that is.
Because so many times people think addiction means a substance like, you know, a drug or alcohol.
Right.
We can be addicted to an attitude.
Right.
I mean, we can be addicted to an emotion. We can be addicted to anything.
Yeah.
And so it's what it creates internally in us.
Right, absolutely.
I am no doctor, obviously. When you said addicted to emotions, are you talking about, here's my medical term, endorphins and stuff like that? Addicted?
Well, what I'm talking about is, let's just say, do you know someone who you just love them, they're a wonderful person, but you can't tell them anything that you don't want everyone to know because they can't help themselves. They're a gossip.
Oh, they're addicted. That type of person. I don't even hang around them like that anymore.
I mean, I have had people in my life, and they've been wonderful people.
But
I just know what I can tell them and what I can't.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they just can't help themselves. They have a nugget of information, and they are just busting at the seams.
Isn't that how we are as adults, like even with family members? It is. You've come to know them so much that you have to strategize the conversation you're going to have when they come home or when you sit down at the table. You know there's certain things you can and cannot say to that person. And if you do, you know, it's like a maze. You got to work your way around how to answer them if they ask you a question because they can't handle the information. And what a weird world we're living in, man.
Well, us adults, that also comes down to assertiveness because, you know, I'm an assertiveness coach too.
Oh, good.
And I do believe.
Laying down law.
I do believe that there is a way to say and speak your truth and do it with kindness and compassion to that other person.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I always say that. It's always, I can say, you know, you have some, my husband is militant. Like he grew up his stepfather was in the military. So he had that militant background and structure. And then with the kids, he's so militant. And I said, look, I can say the same thing you're saying, but I speak with love and in kindness and with compassion. Mm-hmm. And I said, and the same message, he said, they just don't listen to you like they listen to me. I said, because you scared the bejesus out of them.
Yeah, that's two different ways.
That makes it fearful. Mm-hmm. But now he's understanding the speaking in that assertiveness.
You can be
love
firm. I tell that to my kids. I'm being firm, not upset.
Right, because that's aggressive what he's doing. Is aggressive, which is kind of like, ooh, steamroller.
Right.
Yeah, whereas that doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And what you were describing, Jay, is more of that passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. You've got to kind of maneuver and twist and turn and figure out how to...
You got
to
figure people out. Yeah. Once you get to know them, you know things you can and cannot say to them because it's just not going
to
work out.
And it doesn't
out,
have
you know?
To be that. Yeah. There is a middle ground. Yeah. There is assertiveness.
Right.
Oh, I
which
like
is
that.
Speaking your truth with kindness and compassion
right.
to that other person.
Right.
And
oh, you got a lot of great nuggets to offer people.
Kill them with kindness. I've been told that. I'm in the world of sales on my other job. And, you know, even when I get a negative reaction from, you know, a potential prospect or whatever, I got to remember to kill them with kindness and keep the P's and Q's going.
Because
you never know, I might get another chance with them and this and that. As much as I want to tell them otherwise, I remember
that. Well, there's an opportunity for you to learn
something. It's a Jiminy Cricket in my head, you know.
Yeah, you might need to take that assertive class and understand how to talk with them and give them your truth without being so direct.
Well, I don't get direct. I want to.
There's times when
I start writing back an email to them when I really want to tell them, and I got to tell them. That's almost therapeutic. Then I got to stop. Backspace and erase clean it up a bit, you know.
Jay, you're going to be
everything but flowers and hearts.
Soon, right?
I tell you. I need some work.
Right. I think we all do. I think especially with this time of the year, a lot of people realize that, you know, you have the brand, you're going to have the holidays and you're going to have Christmas. And then here comes everybody comes with the New Year's and say, oh, it's going to be a new year, a new me, new beginnings. And I'm going to be this. And then 30 days later, all of that gone. All of that is gone.
Well, you know what, Shay? And that is the difference between being motivated and being inspired.
Right.
Because motivation takes constant. Like, you can motivate someone, and then you got to motivate them again. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to motivate them again a few more days, and motivate them again. But if you inspire someone, you have ignited a spark inside of them.
Absolutely.
And they're doing it. They're taking the torch and running with it then. And then something's going to happen. Well, because I'll it's coming you. From within.
You have a lot of inspiring things.
Cheryl, are you not a psychologist? This is a different way of going about it. A different way of.
Well, my master's degree is in metaphysical science, okay. and my thesis was the power of perception, just to give you an idea there. Okay. Because it really is, I mean, metaphysics is really about the nature of reality. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why I chose that as my theme for my thesis, the power of perception, because perception orders reality.
Yeah. Yes, it
and
does.
It just,
I think that's awesome. I think, you know, you're really in tune with, you know, being a better person and how to use that your internal things to orchestrate how to be great and externally, you know, with others. And I think that everybody in the audience should check out your website and take some classes.
Both of them.
You know, because, you know, and I'm going to look into it too, because I'm telling you, we need to do the same thing. I mean, I always want to be the best version of myself every day. And so
that's beautiful. Thank you.
For coming and letting us know those things.
Well, this is the only side of Shay I've seen. So, I mean.
All right.
I mean, you're just. You're rocking it. I'm proud of you.
You know what? I would love to share a quote with you that kind of falls along with everything we've just talked about. It's my favorite Rumi quote.
Okay.
Okay. And that quote is, "Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I'm changing myself."
Awesome. I love it.
Thank
That's
you.
That's the way you is need
yours?
To do.
It's Rumi.
Rumi?
Rumi.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. R-U-M-I?
R-U-M-I. Yes.
All right. I think everybody needs to use that quote every day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. I really appreciate it.
No kidding. That should be on a Hallmark card or something, right? Yeah, that's right. We're posing. Look at us. But you know what? Shay and I guarantee you, like I said before, we're in deep thought. I'm telling you, I am. My mind's still like, you know, just going.
All right.
Listen, let's wrap this up. Now, you have the two websites. You can also be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube as well.
Yes.
And on YouTube, are you coaching people? Obviously, it's a visual thing.
YouTube, I have a lot of videos up, and some of those videos you'll find on my website. Mm-hmm. I have videos up there as well as on my website called 1 Minute Monday, which is just kind of it's like a 1 minute kind of affirmation, get yourself going for the week. You'll find those on my website, like I said, or on YouTube. And I'm also starting a new YouTube and SoundCloud for Open Hearts and Beyond.
For your podcast.
Yeah,
right.
For my podcast. Okay. So
I'm all excited about that. I can't wait. I'm going to have to try that 1 Minute Monday.
Okay,
I'm going to have to try that out.
So 1 Minute Tuesday, 1 Minute Wednesday. 1 minute.
Jay, need a minute
Cheryl,
every
this
day.
Is great. I mean, again, just like with Jen Silver, I could have gone on and on and on. We could be, Shay and I could be sitting here, you know, picking this whole thing apart and, you know, asking all kinds of questions, but perhaps we'll have you on again.
Thank you.
You know, absolutely.
I'd love to have you back.
I know. And we're going to get the whole National Solutions Group together. That's one of the goals here. Early December.
Yes.
Give you guys a little round table. Mm-hmm. And that should be interesting.
That's going to be a good time.
A lot of different ideas
flying
around,
right? It is going to be a good time. Absolutely.
That means everybody needs to have their notepads handy.
Right? We have a chiropractor. We got the aromatherapy. We got life coaching. Then we got, you know, we got your holistic in the meditation going on and all in one
That'd
table,
be awesome.
All in one shot. That's worth money.
Oh, and I'm glad it's in December because that'll get people prepared for that new you.
Absolutely. New
you
for the
new
year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And actually making it happen.
That's
sticking with it.
That's right.
All right, definitely. All right, this is Cheryl Piper Snyder, Alchemy Holistic Life Coach. Again, www.alchemyholisticlifecoach.com. Powerofmindfulness.today as well. And again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Cheryl is here to help, and help you she will. We appreciate you coming on, Cheryl. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank
you. You've been listening to The Hub Show from Hagerstown, Maryland. Podcasting and broadcasting about everything local you need to know with your host, Jay Heisch. Join us on our next podcast coming soon.
Any event, anytime, anywhere in the U.S. If you're looking for portable displays and graphics for any convention, conference, party, home show, job fair, photo backdrop, even DJ sets, ExpoNet USA is here to provide the best pricing and service for all your printed branding and marketing needs. With printing facilities on both sides of the country and well-connected in the middle, ExpoNet USA makes things happen without the huge rush fees or high shipping costs. Hey, Hagerstown, you've got a guy. Call Display J at 301-378-9363. Graphic design services are available as well. Visit us at www.exponetusa.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.